Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes you have to speak victory.
Good morning and welcome to Joy and Peace Outreach, where your host is Overseer Sadie Elliott. I am so glad that you have stopped by the show today. We have another exciting topic for you today, but before we bring the topic, we will have a few moments of prayer. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for waking us up this morning enclosed in our right mind, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for being on top of the ground and not under the ground, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for everything that will go on this program today, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for every caller that will call in today, dear Heavenly Father. We ask you to strengthen them, strengthen their families, dear Heavenly Father. Bless them with everything that you know they need, dear Heavenly Father. We give you praise. We give you honor in Jesus' divine perfect will. Amen and thank God. Today we have such an exciting topic coming to you on reverence and submission. And this was such a wonderful topic. As I was reading the scriptures, we're going to be coming from Genesis the 22 and 12. And the word of the Lord said, and he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. You know, when you read that verse, and you go back and read it again and dissect it, and he said, lay not thy hand, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know spirit God. You know, when you think about that, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son from me, I can't help but be reminded on how God died on the cross for us. And here his son, God put his son on the cross. And, you know, I'm reminded where I go to the scripture where God said, not Satan, but God said, he asked Abraham to take his son up on the mountain and offer him there for a burnt offering. Notice there are three key elements in this account. And I hope you have your paper and pencil with you today. There are three key elements in this account. First, there was reverence. Abraham reverenced God and was completely yielded to him. Surely, young Isaac realized that his faith and his father had a deep love and reverence for God. How many of you out there in radio land today have a deep reverence for God today? Second, there was a loving relationship between Abraham and his son. And this created in the son to his father, Isaac, willing to lay on the altar, no doubt, what he was asked to do. You know, that's being reverent, submission. That's an obedient son, knowing that my father is giving me up. When you think about that and you read about that, you can't help say, put yourself in that spot. Do you think you could have put your only son on the altar for God? Or would you have been complaining and griping? Well, you know, I notice I have some callers have come on the air. And whenever you get ready to speak, just let me know. Just hit one on your keypad and I'll bring you in. Praise God, praise God. And the third thing that I mentioned, that was three key elements in this scripture, was there was trust. How many people can trust you today? The son trusted his father's decision and acts to do. But this trust and submission spirit came from having a wonderful father and son relationship that was complemented by a love and reverence for God. Again, there was complete yieldness. You know, and as I read that and I went through that, and I was thinking about trust and submission spirit,
that came from having a wonderful father and son relationship? How many of you out today, if you're listening, fathers that have a wonderful father and son relationship today? If you don't have that relationship, now is the time to have that relationship with your son, where you can have that bond together, where you're able to do whatever God tells you that you need to do. You know, and that was complete yieldness, where he was yielding to the Holy Spirit, yielding to God. And, you know, Abraham faced trials to do today, but he really, in reality, was no different from us today. We all go through something daily, whether it's a woman or whether it's a man. We all go through something in this life, and we have to know how to reverence and submission. And I hope today some of you all are getting this today with the loving relationship that God has with us and realizing how deep that love is with God today. So if anybody would like to come on today and say anything on the show, feel free to touch one on your keypad, because this, you know, we have to have a full surrender and put everything on the altar, not some things. When you go to the altar, you need to lay everything on the altar, you know, because you want God to come in. You want God to do what you're asking him to do, but you can't go to God half-stepping. You need to have it all laid on the altar. And as I went to my Bible, I'm going to read a few other little things that really caught my attention as I was reading the Word of God. And I said, well, my. And when I went through it, I said, you know, reading Abraham's faith tested, when I went up some more scriptures, and, you know, God called Abraham to perform the action of faith on the mountain of Moriah. God called Abraham to give up all his hopes and dreams for a future based on the very son God had given him. Why would God demand that Abraham sacrifice Isaac? You know, this answer to this ancient question illuminate the heart of faith. You know, in here, God demanded that we give up trusting in the very things he gives us, family, a future, plans, potential, power. All these things must be sacrificed on the altar. So we will learn that God alone is our source. Let me say that again. God alone is our source. It's not the family. It's not the next door neighbor. It's not somebody down the street. But God alone is our source. But this is difficult for us to learn because we are builders and creators, always believing in our potential and ability to do things. You know, as I read that, I wrote down on my little note, our ability do not contradict our faith, but they often bind us to the truth that our faith teaches us God is the source of our strength and hope. And you know, verse 12, but when you go to Genesis 22 and read on down, you know, trusting God, acknowledge God's love in our heart and in our lives. Abraham trusted in God. God allowed him to see God's faithfulness. How many of you are trusting in God today? And you're letting the faithfulness of God show? But if we never trust God, we will never see the love of God for us. Our slave foreparents, in the midst of terrible pain and suffering, echoed this belief in their word and deed. They believed that expressing God's love was the gift that accomplishes act of faith. And you know, when we're still talking about trusting in God's love, how Abraham trusted what God said to offer up his son. You know, faith-based action will cause us to say again and again, in the face of our need, God alone will provide. You know, God calls us to the mountain of sacrifice so that we would know without a shadow of a doubt the divine purpose for the redemption of this world. You know, and there we also encounter God's loving promise never to forsake us. Ah, my. Ooh, gee, there go a hand up. Let me see who this is on this morning. Good morning, caller. You are now on the air. Good morning.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. How are you doing?
I'm blessed by the best and highly favored of the Lord. God's doing great things.
Well, praise God. May I ask who's calling?
This is Evangelist Prophet Brian calling. Wishing you a very merry
Christmas. Praise God, Prophet Brian. How are you doing?
I'm blessed by the best and highly favored of the Lord. God is doing great things. We still, we just was hearing some things about, just mentioned about Abraham.
Yes, talking about our topic today, Evangelist Brian, is reverence and submission, coming from Genesis 22 and 12.
Uh-huh.
And we have some more callers on, but we'll give you a few minutes to share, then we'll bring some more callers on and see what they're saying about.
That's a very subject about dealing with Abraham and really dealing about your faith in God and trust and reverence God for the things that you asked of God. And that was one thing that Abraham was, he was really proving that he loved God more than he loved his son, and that proved that he had faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that the Bible said, we shall live by faith, not by sight. That's what we are living in today, is by walking in faith, trusting in God, and believing in God.
Mm-hmm.
We have of the Son of God. So every person that come into, especially in the new dispensation of timing that we are in today, we all have to live by according to the Word of God. We have to let faith reign in us, because without faith it's impossible to please God. So we have to have the faith of the Son of God to prove that God is God. So God don't change. We change it because the atmosphere, or change because things are not going the way we should be going. But it's something that when he said, the just shall live by faith. Who are the just? We are the just. We live in the faith of the Son of God. And that's what Abraham was. He trusted God because of the things that God promised, made unto him. And he didn't stagger at the promise.
Mm-hmm.
That was something stated to that he believed what according to what God agreed with him and what he would do. And so we're living at the point now that every person that is in and coming to Christ, like, and they're living, you're saved, but you're not saved by your works. You're saved by faith. Faith saved. It's by the faith that saves us. It's not by how we work. It's how we believe God. Yet we have not seen God, but you know we exist because of his Spirit. So we have the Spirit of Christ in us, and the Spirit of God works all of by faith. Now, faith is something that as Isaiah said, that but those that wait upon the Lord shall
mm-hmm.
renew their strength. Well, faith have legs. Faith walk. So faith has to wait upon the Lord. So it waits on what God said. When you say a word of God,
uh-huh.
Say a word of faith of God, well, it go in action, because faith is an action word. And that was something that Abraham instituted, was faith. It was an action word to him because he believed what God said. He didn't stagger at the promise. He made it known to us to believe what God. And when he took his son up on Mount Moriah, he was proving something. That he loved God more than he loved his son, so he put God on. Really, he put God to the point he was tested. So we're gonna be tested in our faith, and that was something that Abraham was tested in his faith. the areas that he was over there with weak in. We're weak in faith. Areas that we were weak in faith, we can be tested how weak we are in faith. But we're coming down to building our faith up. That's what when Paul said to the Roman people, and Romans 1:17, he said that for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written. Now he said, as it is written, he said, the just shall live by faith. So we're living by the faith of the Son of God. But faith moves mountains. Faith moves things that you say. You can have exactly what you're saying by speaking faith-filled words. That was something Abraham demonstrated a lot of times because of the trust of God, because he believed God and the things that God set before Abraham. And was something about when Sarah, she was faithful to Abraham. And when you be faithful to the man of God, God will turn around and bless you for being faithful, because you trust. You put your trust in God. And that was something that Sarah put her trust in God, doing everything according to God's will for her to do, to treat Abraham as a lord over her. Showing how much faithful that she'd been faithful to him. So that's showing us how we must be faithful unto death. We must be faithful to God. God is a promising God. God didn't let us down. He never let us down. We let God down when we don't really believe what he said and stagger at the promise of God. I think the devil knows that how far you can go in God. He knows mm-hmm. exactly where you're going. He's going to try you. He's going to you're going to be tried, but your faith going to be tried. Your faith going to be tried in many, many ways, because of the devil. He loves to try people in the area of coming down to faith. That's almost like in the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk deals with in that same area of dealing with faith, because he was his soul was upright. It wasn't right like it should be, but he was saying that to the people. Because if you look at the man who through faith is just and upright shall live, and shall live by faith. This is a big, really referring to the Christians or people that they said this declaration of the Christian principle, like. Four times is in the Bible. Life speaks about four times about life. The just shall live by faith. Life is given by the word of God. And that was something that Habakkuk was made different, the sin between the difference between living of the unjust and the just. Now the unjust are puffed up and live by their own self substances. But the just living by faith, their confidence is in God. To them, faith is more than philosophers of life. It is a very principle. It's a principle of life. And that's just showing how much that we need to live by the faith, because Abraham was putting himself on display of showing how much God, he trusted God. We have to trust God the same anyway, because our faith is impossible. Please, God, we have to have faith.
That's right. We have to have some faith. But what else we need with that faith?
Right. We got to have faith, because we can't. That's the only way you're going to be saved is by faith. I mean, everything you do is by faith. It's how you live according to God. When you need something from God, we stand on the promise of God. We don't renege on God. We believe God. Declaration to God. We believe what he said, because the word that you say out of your mouth, you're going to have what you say. If you speak negative words, negative words going to come out of you. If you speak positive words going to come out of you. That's how you build, how you say what you want. You petition God. You petition what you want from God. Don't stagger at it. Just believe what he said, because he made it known to all of us that we live by faith, not by the works. The works don't get you to heaven. You're saved by faith, but your work is as filthy rags. But see, God works; it's righteous, and righteous means right standing with God. So we have right standing with God. What God called us to do, we do. We live by it. It's almost like when sickness comes to our body, We look for God to heal us, but if we don't stand on His word, well, you're not going to get healed. But if you stand on His word, you get healed, because you speak His word. Because His word is faith is action word and it's performed out of your mouth. So we just look to God.
Evangelist Brian, I got another person just beeped in, and they want to talk. They want to talk too. Let me let them talk and talk about this this topic today. Caller, you are now on the air.
Praise
good morning.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. Radio listening audience, this is Prophet Andrew Sims out of Chattanooga, Tennessee, by the way, of Atlanta, Georgia. Good morning, Prophet Brian. How are you doing this morning? It's good to hear. Praise God. My concern is about this situation here, according to your first question, great overseer, is reverence.
Uh-huh.
When you look at the reverence that Abraham had, Prophet Sims always has to flip the coin. And what I mean is simply this. When you look at reverence to anything or anybody, you come to find out that reverence deals with a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the fact that reverence has to do with a relationship, you come to find out, as being a prophet of a true and living God, I've come to find out that people want to reverence God, but they don't want to reverence the people that God sent.
All
so
right.
It's amazing how somebody can reverence God whom they have never seen and have faith in a God that they've never seen, and they've got a prophet such as myself around and such as Prophet Brian, and people don't even know that God is working in them. So when you look back in the Old Testament, in the first five books of the Gospels, people wanted to reverence God, but they didn't want to reverence Moses.
Mm-hmm.
So amazing how they feel and think that they've got a relationship with a God of whom they've never seen and never heard, and the Lord will use a prophet to come to them and say, this is what you need to do, and they cannot recognize him. And as
mm-hmm.
you can, the stats reveal that most people in the church do reverence God, but they don't reverence the prophets that God sent at all, because you can look at the statistics and see that the church is just as loose and renegade as it can be. And that's the reason why the relationship does not reveal the harmony and the peace of God in the things that you actually see. There's a lot of things that's going on in the church that do not exalt God, because people do not exalt God's people, his prophets that he sent. So the
mm-hmm.
church is really in chaos. The church is turned upside down because people say, I heard from God. God told me to tell you this. And the Lord will send a coconut, a pineapple, and a fruitcake like Prophet Sims right in your midst and give you a word directly from the Holy Ghost. And you will look at me and say, well, Lord Jesus, where did that coconut come from? And not acknowledge the things of God. So when you look at reverence, the first question that you have, Abraham was able to see the reverence of God because of the things that God revealed to him. There was a relationship there.
Yeah.
But how in the world can you reverence a prophet of God sent from God when there's no relationship, when there's no honor, there's no respect? So that's the reason why come Abraham was able to trust the Lord God, because he could actually see the things on display. So when the Lord sent a prophet to someone, most of the time when the prophet tells a person something, they're going to do the opposite of what somebody else has told them, that don't have a prophetic status at all, and they would listen to the deacons, they would listen to the garbage collectors, the fish fry persons, they would listen to everybody except for the prophet. So that's why I come we in such a disarray, great overseer. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Ah, you know, I mean, this is good today. If anybody else want to come in and comment, feel free to hit key number one on your keypad, because we would like to hear from any callers today that would like to share their views today on reverence and submission coming from Genesis 22 and 12, because this is really good. Um, Prophet Brian, you want to just say just a little bit more on that before I get to the next one?
Well, you can go on to the next one. I may have something later on.
This is Prophet Andrew Sims of Chattanooga, Tennessee. I've got something to say. Thank you, Prophet Brian. This is what I found out as when you begin to recognize that the Lord says in the 14th chapter of St. John, he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom I will send unto you from the Father, he will teach you all things, and he will bring all things back to your remembrance whatsoever I have taught you. Now, when you look at that particular fact in regards to reverence, in regards to submission, you've got 98% of the people that are in the fivefold ministry that do not know who the Holy Ghost is.
Mm.
They don't even know how the Holy Ghost works. And so what happens is you find out that there's a form of God and a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. Now, when you look at the stats reveal specifically that just like what happened in the Houston area, you know, by having a homosexual mayor, you can tell that the Holy Ghost wasn't present in the Houston area because of the fact that there was not a stance taken to fight against unrighteousness. So Holy Ghost, according to Luke 4:18, tells you that the Holy Ghost is going to represent and it's going to stand for the things of God. So when you look place like Houston, as big as it is, and the same thing with the Atlanta area, you come to find out the Holy Ghost is not present at all, but you've got people that's faking it till they make it. So what happens is you have a form of godliness, you have a zeal, and the Lord is saying that people rather hear a lie than to hear the truth. The fact that reverence and respect cannot be given to God because people do not want to hear from the prophets of God because they're speaking truth. They prefer to hear a lie. So when you put a test, this is how you do it now. And check it out. Everyone under the sound of my voice, this is how you can find out if a person's got the Holy Ghost. Right and simple. Are you writing this down, great overseer?
Yes, sir.
Okay. This is how you can check and find out if a person's got the Holy Ghost. The only thing you got to do is ask them this one question. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
What are you working with? That's all you got to ask them.
Hey.
All you got to ask
them
is what are you working with? Question mark. Now, watch what I'm going to say to you now.
Yes, sir.
If a person comes to you, great overseer, says, well, what are you talking about? What do you mean? You got your answer. If a person comes in and asks you, can you explain to me what you're talking about? You got your answer.
Mm-hmm.
And the prophet of a true and living God, anytime you ask the question, you got your answer. So now, if a person don't know what they're working with and supposed to have the Holy Ghost, you got your answer. Not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost don't tell you what the answer is.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So now, if it's anybody, anybody want to know if they got the Holy Ghost, you tell them to get in touch with Prophet Sims.
And all
they
right.
They tell them if they don't want to know the truth, don't
uh-huh.
call. Because they're going to get their little bubbles busted. So that's what's happening in the body of Christ. See, the accountability of reverence has never been challenged. The accountability of reverence has never been challenged. It's always challenged by the Holy Ghost, but the fact of the matter, we've got so many people that are ignorant to the Word of God below the fivefold ministry, they don't know how to ask the question to be able to challenge those that's in the position of authority.
All right.
So, this foolishness continued to go on because who's going to check out who? Well, I can't check out you, great overseer, if I don't know.
That's right.
So what we're going to do together, we're going to fake it till the make it, and we're going to pimp the body of Christ through money, through cars and planes and boats and trains. But at the same time, the Holy Ghost don't need that. Holy Ghost don't need boats, price, and chains. Now, there's things that they can do with it, but there's not a priority.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't mean to shake up this radio audience this morning.
Go ahead. The Holy Ghost.
No.
Leave. Yeah.
The question that the Holy Ghost will reveal to you is, what are you working with? And if you ask that question to 100 people, great overseer, that's supposed to be in the fivefold ministry, you will find out that they don't know. And like the word says that the Holy Ghost will teach you. Ain't that what it says?
That's what it says.
It can't teach you what you don't know. You can't
repeat what
you don't know.
Right.
The scriptures in First Corinthians, the second chapter, the 15th verse, it says they that are holy and that a spiritual knows all things. When you go to Hebrews 4 and 12, it tells you that it is a discerner of the intents of the thoughts of man and his heart.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, here it is, accountability as far as a relationship is tested. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Watch what I'm going to say to you. I'm going to leave you alone now. If you go to 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5, it says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in the Holy Ghost and power, so that you will know what manner of man or woman that you're working with. Did you hear me? Now, that's what it says. It says, now, if you really want to know who you're working with, then the question comes, is what is you working with? If you look at 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5, but
that's
you got
right.
The people that's ignorant to the word of God in the body of Christ, they don't go to the point. Okay, I got the Holy Ghost, they say. I got the word. But the word tells you in 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5 that you will know who people are by what it is that you see. So
you've
got so many people, Prophet Brian, that's not able to reveal and manifest the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost that everybody says, well, this is the Holy Ghost. Nothing. Now, how can two walk together except they agree, says the Lord? How can light and darkness work together? How can unrighteousness be together? How can I sit up in the church with somebody that's got high blood pressure, sugar, diabetes, and gout, and don't attack it? How can I sit in the church with that?
All right.
That we can sit up in the church and say that we have an accountability and reverence to God, and we can sit right next to somebody that's got a monkey on their back and be comfortable with it. Somebody's told a lie, y'all.
I'm
not permit the devil to sit beside me and say that it's okay. I'm going to expose the devil for who it is, and I'm going to let him know that this will not be permitted or tolerated on my watch. Now, they can do what they want to do on your watch, great overseer. But the question I'm going to ask you is, what are you working with? That's the question the Holy Ghost is asking. And if you ain't going to give away the secret, because the secrets are in the mystery and the secrets is in the word of God. But anyway, I didn't need to take up much of your time.
No, that's all right. I want that the show is on for everybody to just speak and talk and say what the Holy Ghost is saying. And, you know, as you were saying, we can't work together unless when we're together. We, you know, one doing this and one doing that, but we can work together consecutively, together, and learn this word and do what the word say. And like you were saying, we sit down, we go to church Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday night, Tuesday night after Tuesday night. The same old thing. We go with the same thing. We come out the same way. It ought to be a difference. It ought to be a change. And that's when, you know, listening to you, that making a change in my life for me to step up. Because in 2011, you know, if they ain't going the way God got me going, I got to leave you aside. I got to go about what God is saying, doing. And I got to have the word of God in me. And the Holy Ghost will teach you. And that's why I want to be taught by the Holy Ghost. I'm tired of sitting down there for 20, 30 years hearing that same old stuff year after year. Yeah, I know he died on the cross for my sin and your sin. But he rose. He's up walking around. Well, what are we going to do now? You still going to keep saying you keep putting him every Sunday and every Wednesday back on the cross. He off of that cross.
Right.
Well, Dr. Bryant, Prophet Bryant, let's listen to this just for a second. You know, how in the world? Now, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, and and the Chattanooga, Tennessee area, and I'm watching this situation that's taking place in Houston, Texas, this situation with this homosexual man. Now, I'm going to share what I mean. Now, I'm watching this from the inception. I noticed that a lot of the spiritual icons didn't come against unrighteousness. A lot of spiritual gurus didn't come against unrighteousness. There was a talk show on 92, Praise 92 something. I don't know exactly what it was. And when this lady got in, this mayor, there was a lot of pastors that came on the radio, and they said how they voted for this mayor. They said, well, we weren't concerned about her lifestyle. The only thing we was concerned about what type of work or duties that she could perform. Now, what I mean by that is simply this. The Lord says a little leaven, leaven the whole bunch. The devil, all he wants to do is get a shoe in. And once he gets a shoe in, he'll take control. But my question to you and to everyone else in the body of Christ, see, you got a lot of these folks up here that nobody has actually asked them, do you really have the Holy Ghost? What are you working with? Where's the proof? All of a sudden, now, I don't need to really know what Abraham is doing, except for in relationship to how it applies to me in this day and this time. God. What God means for what happened with Abraham with me in this day and this time. So when you look at this day and time, great Dr. Brian, Prophet Brian, you understand that here it is, that the relationship that they had was a relationship to where both benefited. Now, how in the world is it that you can see in the body of Christ that the only people that are benefiting from what is going on is the people that's on an upper-level status? When you go to the third chapter of Acts, you look at the benefits, you look at that the apostles and disciples were able to take the monies and all of the other stuff they had and distribute it to those that had needs. So really what they're working with and what's going on, there's a lot of lying going on in the body of Christ. I thank the Lord that he has true prophets around that's willing to see the Holy Ghost first and to be able to tell the people that here it is. You're not gonna get no healing through faith. You're not gonna get no healing through faith because you don't have no faith. You're not gonna get healing through faith because you're not taught faith. So there's a lot of people under the sound of Prophet Sims' voice that are not gonna be healed from praying. They're not going to be get delivered from demonic sources because they are not properly being taught by the Holy Ghost. How are you going to teach me, Prophet Brian, how to get rid of sugar diabetes, and you got it too? How are you going to get me delivered from high blood pressure and generational curses, and you got it too? What I do, since you can't get connected with me and you're not around my round table, you're going to go to your doctor, but you ain't going to let this information out. Because you don't want people to know that really I got a monkey on my back. Now, how are you going to help me? I know what's going on. So the fact of the matter is this here. You got a lot of people being taken advantage of because of their ignorance and stupidity and what the Holy Ghost is not teaching them. So this is the question that I will say to you and everyone else. When the challenge goes forward, like I told a man last night, how in the world are you going to tell me that you've been around people for 25 to 30 years, and you got so many monkeys on your back they done turn into gorillas. and here it is, you done even got a forest going because of the fact of what you have not been get delivered of. When I got high blood pressure, sugar diabetes, gout, arthritis, rheumatism, pancreatitis, and everything else, I told the Lord, I said, now, if I can't get delivered from this, somebody's lying. And the Lord told me, said, I'm not lying. I said, well, Lord, what are the principles and the techniques that are necessary to show forth your glory and to decree and declare that Jesus Christ didn't go to the cross and die in vain? So when he showed Prophet Sims these techniques, high blood pressure couldn't stay there no more. Sugar diabetes had to leave. Pancreatitis had to go. And so I'm able to go to folks and tell them, this is what I'm working with. I'm working with the power of the Holy Ghost. For the Lord Jesus said unto John the Baptist, he said, are you the one? Or should we expect? He didn't tell him that he walked on water. He didn't tell him that he turned water into wine. He said, tell John this. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, and the dead raised. That's what you're working with. And if you ain't working with that, You're a lie, and the truth ain't in you. That's what I say. can't nobody argue with that in the spiritual realm, because that's the word of God. That ain't Prophet Sims' platform.
Yeah, that is.
You don't get too many comments on that, great overseer, Elliot.
I know. Nobody called in.
That challenge go out to all of Houston and the surrounding areas. Did nobody come against that platform of unrighteousness out of all those spiritual icons in the Texas area? T.D. Jakes, Benny Hinn, Hagee, Osteen, all them folks, ain't none of them come against it. I know there's a lot of people mad at me because the Lord says, I didn't come to bring no peace, Prophet Sam said, through the Lord. I come to bring division. I come to bring the truth out of what God's word is all about. I'm going to stand for righteousness and holiness, and that's why I come when you ask me a question, I can tell you what I'm working with. I can tell you that cataracts have been reversed. Glaucoma's been reversed. I can tell you that kidneys have been restored. I can tell you that heart palpitations have quit. I can tell you that. That's what I'm working with. And the only way it's going to work that way is that the Holy Ghost has to be using you.
That's right.
It don't work through talk. It works through a relationship.
That's right.
Right.
Oh, that is,
I'm going to turn it over to you now because you get me fired up now. You get me fired up.
That's what I need today. I need to be fired up because I think about, you know, what I'm working with, you know, the Holy Ghost and the power of the Holy Ghost. Just recently, just 2 days ago, I was in a severe wreck. And I know I had to be working with the power of God because the way my car was round a tree with another passenger in it, if I had not been working with the Holy Ghost and speaking that word and saying that when the collision hit, I would not be here today, but I know I was working with the power of the Holy Ghost, speaking the word. When I hit, I was still quoting the scripture, still standing on Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. I know, without a shadow of a doubt, it was God.
Preach it over to you. That's it.
Hey.
That's it.
Jesus. And like you say, people don't know what they're working with when you ask them, what are you working with?
To God. You don't have,
if you ain't got no word to work with, you can't work it.
That's right. That's
you got to have the word in you to work it. If you ain't got it, you can't work it.
What's so profound, working with that word from my belly up out of my mouth. And when that car stopped and they got me out that car and my passenger, and we both looked, and see, there was nobody but God, but we were speaking the word as we was driving. We was talking, standing on the word, not knowing that freak accident was finna happen, but we were speaking the word. When it went, and I mean, when they got me out, and I kept keep a Bible in my car, on the back seat of my car, and only thing that fell was the Bible and the little piece that was in the back. But when the car stopped and I opened the door, hear the word was still there, open up. The Bible wasn't even close, still opening up to Psalms 91. Hey!
Hallelujah.
Fine. You know what you're working with today?
You go get it. You better not ask nobody that.
I need to know what you're working with.
I'm working with the Holy Ghost.
Praise God, Prophet Brian. I'm telling you, what you quit.
Yeah, yes, sir. I was listening to what you were saying about all this in Houston and Texas. And I was thinking about what the word of God even said. He said, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So I don't know what these people are trying to cover up, because what's in the dark eventually comes to the light. God's not going to let anything into heaven. You got to be clean and pure. And he meant from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. So ain't nothing going to be... It's unseen. God is going to reveal it. He's been revealing the real. Like you said, God put the real prophets in. The ones that have been saying they're prophets ain't prophets.
That's right.
They come in proper line, talking about get in the line, in $100, $500. That ain't of God. That ain't God.
No. Like I said before, everyone, I've checked it out. And I looked. When the mayor got in, the first thing that she said, I want the world to know that Houston is a place where anybody and everybody can come and be what they want to be. That was an invitation. That was an invitation to the pits of hell, to where the doors of hell, there was a portal given into the city of Houston. Now, like I told y'all, you wait and see what the devil is getting ready to do in that area, because there's an open portal there to where every vile, unclean spirit that you can think of is en route to Houston in tremendous numbers. And so the fact of the matter, the only person that's going to be able to stand is those that know what they're working with through manifestation and demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. You won't be able to talk yourself out of this situation, just like what happened in Arizona. See, you could tell what them people was working with because they ain't here today. Do you hear what I'm telling y'all? They ain't here today. You can tell what they're working with. You can tell what somebody's working with when they got all kind of monkeys on their back. They're having flat tires, cars breaking down. Dishwashers won't work. Vacuum cleaners tear up. You can tell what they're working with because the Lord said, everything you got, if I'm working with you, is going to be shielded and protected. You wonder why and how this old piece of vacuum cleaner, 100 years old, is still running, just won't stop. It won't stop when you cut it off. You hear what I'm talking about? So I'm telling you, when you ask the question, Prophet Brian, to all of the spiritual gurus you around, when you ask them, just ask the question, what are you working with? Now, the Holy Ghost knows everything, sees everything, and hears everything. He already know. He already know what you're talking about according to 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5. He already know. So the person that's supposed to be holy, according to Hebrews 4 and 12, should already know what you mean when you ask him. Because the scripture says that him that are spiritual and holy of God knows all things anyway. Yet he himself is judged of no man. 1 Corinthians 2:15. So it's quite simple. It's time for the exposure to take place. It's time for the exposure to take place because let me tell you, there's so many people that's finding out that what we're doing is not glorifying God, because if you don't have no money, you can't get a word. I was talking to some people the other day, and I saw a preacher sending his sermons on the internet for $69.99. You can get three sermons. You can get three sermons online for $69.99. And I said to myself, I said, this is pitiful.
That's sad, man.
The sad part about it is there's pastors buying it because ain't nobody accountable to expose them.
That's right.
See, somebody has to be accountable to expose them. This is why they hated Jesus so much, because when he came on the scene, I've been sitting over here for 38 years, and I'm blind, and I can't walk, and I can't see. So all of a sudden, when I come on the scene, you get healed. So you mad at me for healing a man because it's done exposed you for who you are and what you are. So the fact that we have exposed people, Prophet Brian, because of the fact of who and what we are. Now, this is what Prophet Sims is going to say to you, Prophet Brian. Be very careful. Now, watch what I'm going to say to you, because I know why you are on the line. And I know why you're listening to what you're listening to. And I know why and who that it is that's around you. Now, I will guarantee you that the power that God has ushered up in you, once there is a clear path from your heart to your consciousness, to your subliminal mind, what God has placed in you is going to allow you to excel above and beyond the capacity that people know you for. Are you listening to me now? So, now, when this time comes, don't you worry about none of the other stuff that what you see or what you hear. You just stand on what it is that you know and do that boldly. Because if you do, you'll be just like Prophet Sims. Now, they don't want, when they see me, they don't say nothing. They did the same way they did Jesus. They don't say nothing to your face. They get behind closed doors. Can we get the Herodians or somebody else to destroy them? They don't say nothing to you in your face because they're afraid of you, really. Because they know what power and authority that you travel with. So don't worry about So you just do what you do and what God is going to do. Now, you ain't got to be crucified. The crucifying days is over. All we got to do is travel in this authority, and the power of God is going to reverence us. Touch not my anointed and do my no harm. Did you hear what I'm telling you? That's a word specifically and directly for you today, because the battleground is definitely taking place right there in Houston, Texas. Now, when Mayor White opened up the doors of Katrina to bring the New Orleans people in, he brought every vile demon in hell there. They were already there. But when the mayor got in, she opened it up to the world. So I want to let you know that you're protected and shielded. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper, but you're going to have to take your stand where you know to be right. Now, you're going to have to get your platform. You might have to call a press conference sometime. But the fact of the matter, you're going to have to do that. That's why you on the line. That's why you on the line today. And you got Prophet Sims' support. I want you to know that.
All right. Glory to God.
God be the glory. That's why he's on the call, great overseer. He ain't on here by accident. This didn't catch God by surprise. There's a lot of other folks that wanted to get on the line, too, but they were scared to say anything.
Yeah, we had one time, but they're just listening. They're not saying anything today.
No, that's what I'm trying to tell you. They don't want to expose themselves, because the challenge from the Holy Ghost is going to compel them to stand for holiness and righteousness.
Yeah, right. And that's it's holiness I have.
That's it.
Who's willing to go? And who's willing to stand? Now, when you begin to start asking these preachers, these deacons and bishops, and all of these folks that's running around here playing church and playing God, the Lord told me to tell you, I heard from the Lord, and the Lord told me to tell you that that you can go down to the store and get chicken for it's on sale for 35 cents pound. And what does that have to do with the Holy Ghost and the power of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ? Nothing. The Lord told me that you're going to get a new car, and the car you're going to get is going to be a purple one. With the Holy Ghost. What's that got to do with the Holy Ghost? Here was Jesus, didn't even have a house. Here is Jesus, never wrote a book, and he still got the best-selling book over 2,000 years. He didn't have a
very...
Yes, ma'am.
Come on. We got 2 minutes. We can go over a little bit. Let me see who this is. Come on. Hold on. Good morning, Carla. You're now on the air.
Good morning. I'm enjoying everybody this morning. God bless.
Praise God.
And reference to commit. So reference, you got to reference and give God the worship, what is due to him. You got to submit to God. And, you know, even through submission, I mean, submission is a being obedient, doing the things what God has called and asked us to do. Submit. We got to, you know, do what he asked us to do. And I don't even know that it did it is by knowing his word.
Amen.
Minister Tanya, thank you for coming in. Look, before we go off there, God is so good. Prophet Sim?
Yes, ma'am.
You want to finish with Evangelist Brian? We got 1 minute, but I'll let it go over a little bit longer so the Holy Ghost can speak to whoever it will.
Well, I was trying to tell great Prophet Brian, when you look at the fact Jesus never wrote a book, but yet and still he got the best-selling book. So you got people selling books and writing books and doing theses and all this other stuff. And you look at the fact that when you look in the third chapter of Acts, here was Peter and him said, all I got is the Holy Ghost. I ain't got no silver. I ain't got no gold. I ain't got nothing. But I got this Holy Ghost. And this Holy Ghost is all I need. So if you got the Holy Ghost, it's going to draw everything to you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to get the Holy Ghost first. Now, if Prophet is Tanya in Oklahoma, when you look at the fact that your anointing and your gift has to be able to work to reveal the presence and the character personality of the Lord in your life, then you go to Philippians, the second chapter. It says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Jesus. So when you look at the fact that you're to display this power through this relationship, now how are you going to have a relationship or have reverence for somebody and you don't know what the definition of reverence means? When you look at submission, when you don't know what the definition of submission means. So when you look at submission, that's saying that we have to totally yield everything to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You do that, you have to deny yourself to do that. So how many of us have denied ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
Denied everything. He denied his family. He denied surrounding. And that's how he was able to have reverence with God.
Well, this has been a wonderful show today.
Yes.
I hope and pray it will help you people that maybe didn't come on today will go to the archives and hear about the Holy Ghost, about reverence and submission today. You know, we further need to have a relationship with our children that win their trust as Abraham did with Isaac. And, you know, we must daily keep our relationship with God warm and sincere so that those we come in contact with will also be able to feel and see that we reverence God. And that's what it's about today, reverence in God and submission. I want to thank each and every person that came on the air today. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. If y'all was close to me, I'd have the tentacles and octopus. I would hug each and every one of you all and tell y'all how much I love y'all and thank y'all for coming on to make this program the program that God had designed for it to be today. And would someone would like to close us off in prayer today? Oh, gracious Father, we thank you for this program today, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for every caller that came on. Dear Heavenly Father, every caller that will listen in, even in the archives later today or tonight, we give you praise. We give you reverence, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for this program, dear Heavenly Father. Let it reach to the utmost part of the earth. Let people stand up in each and every city, every state, dear Heavenly Father, and declare the works of God on the job that you have called them to do, dear Heavenly Father. Let them realize and know what they are truly working with today, dear Heavenly Father. We give you praise. We give you everything in advance, dear Heavenly Father, today. In Jesus' divine holy will, amen, and thank God. I want to thank each and every one of you all again. Y'all have a blessed week. And until we speak again on next week, where we'll have an exciting topic, and for those that's on the line or that may be listening in, continue on tuning in to Blog Talk, because we're going to do a two-hour show, and it's going to be live where we're going to have people call in on whatever they're going through. We're going to have people that will be on the air that will help you through it. And we invite you back, Evangelist Brian. I'll be letting you know when the date and time for that program is, so you'll be available to be able to help Prophet Sim and Minister Tanya that will go forth with that program.
Yes.
Praise God. Praise God. Be glad.
And I thank you all again. I hate to leave y'all. I love you all. But duty calls, so I must say goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.